Another public meeting that I can remember of residents was held. I'm not sure if Elder might remember. It was in the Willis Room, or in the Willis Room,
and
packed to the walls, and the residents having their say about the changes that probably I was putting forward as amendments to the flats policy. And I think it all became a bit too hard, and not many of those recommendations were ever adopted. But that was probably one of the more intimidating meetings that I ever had to sit through. I think Ken Borelli might have been mayor.
No, I think it was Bill
Coyne. Bill Coyne, was it? I'm not sure.
It was the only meeting I do recall where Trevor Wetherley went and called the police.
Right. So my recollections are all right. Yes.
He was feeling uneasy.
Yes.
We had two police constables come and walk the police
to show the presence. Yeah, so you do remember those things. The other meeting that I suppose was still sort of fairly vivid in my recollection is one that was held at the Avenue Church Hall. It was mainly for the purposes of discussing the introduction of the special residential zone, and that was to cover the National Trust classified streets at Blackburn. And we went to a lot of trouble, and I can't remember, I think the appointment by the council of an advisory committee, I think, followed that meeting of about 300 or more people down at the Avenue Church. And that was much better organised and controlled. But nevertheless, by their very presence, the residents showed, exactly how they felt about that issue. I'd just like to finish perhaps by saying that the council in about 82 directed Ted Jane, who was then the town clerk chief administrator, to look at preparing a structure for an organisation that would be much more of a corporate organisation. And Ted used to, as you probably remember, used to write a little article for the Nunawading Gazette, and this one is one of 1982, and he just explains how that new organisation would operate. And at that time, the council decided that group managers or managers of a section should be appointed, and then not long after that, Les Fell came as the city manager to take over that role, and we had four organisational groups under that chief, and a couple of other persons, the finance manager and myself, who were members of the executive committee. The other issue that I guess has been predominant through the whole time has been the one of protecting the bushland character of Nunawading. We've been most fortunate, I think, and I was going to mention a few identities, but we've been most fortunate in having benefactors who've made available properties, and the closest one to here, I guess, is the whole of this land through to Antonio Park, where the Antonio brothers decided that the council could better look after this land and keep it in a natural bushland state. Mr and Mrs Hook, who gave their Wandanong sanctuary land, and the Campbell brother and sister, Daisy and Bruce, down on Campbell's Croft, down Boronia Road. I remember the Hooks and the Campbells. Daisy Campbell and old Mr Hook both used to ride bicycles to the council offices, and they used to leave their bike outside and come in and do their business. Someone here might be able to help me. I was trying to remember another man that used to visit the old council offices that used to ride a bicycle, and I think he used to be the caretaker of the Mitcham Memorial Hall and used to be a racing bike rider, but his name might have been Gray, but I can't really remember. But anyway, not to worry. I think that advisory committee was a good example of the the way in which the council involved members of the community in their important issues. David Gawler, a former mayor, was a member of that committee. Others, we had consultants working with us. Michael Colley from Colley Planning and Development worked with us, and some of the residents from the area as well. And that committee drew together the important controls that we felt were relevant to the planning scheme to try and keep a balance. And this to me is always where planning comes back to: balance between allowing a certain form of development, allowing people to do with their properties what they feel they should be entitled to do, but at the same time preserving for the wider community, for the future generations, those aspects of our area where we've come and chosen to live that we feel are desirable to be preserved. So it's a matter of just trying to keep that balance. Just a quick comment on other issues. The provision of open space, Ngunnawadding Council was always adamant that it would have better than the metropolitan average of open space, and it's been always in the forefront. The Forest Hill Shopping Centre used to come up every few years to be expanded, and it's still doing the same. The freeway reservations have always had their impact on the city. We had a major issue when the Metropolitan Railway depot was proposed at Ngunnawadding, between Ngunnawadding and Blackburn. Another community group emerged and took that up with the council's support, and I think the council spent 60 odd thousand or something engaging legal advice and so forth to fight that. One that I mentioned before was King and Ceylon Street. I don't know that I really need to say much more. There are a number of councillors that I've worked with through the years, and one at least is here today. Two, Terry I think came on council just after I'd retired. The ones that I remember from the early days, Jim Willis was always a great identity, and Jim of course was a long serving councillor, a commissioner of the Board of Works. Graham Walsh always created an impact, I think, wherever he went. Gavin Oakley was notable for probably establishing community gardens and somewhat probably the demise of the Board of Works in a way. Many others. Bruce Atkinson's been a person that I've known well, and Jan Plummer, and Bruce and Jan and Velda, and we sort of spent many an early morning probably deliberating council affairs. I don't think there's much more. Perhaps just in conclusion, I'd just like to say that I've sort of enjoyed my time with the council very much. I've enjoyed being involved with the community. I've seen it grow from what was really an outer municipality to a middle suburban area. I've been through some fairly drastic organisational changes, but I must say I'm not at all sorry I wasn't there when amalgamation took place. I guess I'm something of a traditionalist, and I'm not one for great changes. I think my history, sort of the fact that I've only ever lived in two homes in my own whole life, I've had about three jobs, and so change to me is always a bit of a trauma, like it is to everybody. The issues when I came here were simple, and the issues now are much more complex, but I've enjoyed it all, and I really thank you for listening to me today, and I hope I haven't bored you or gone too long and run out of tape. Thanks very much, Phil.
One has a question,
though. Yeah, sure, if there are any. I'll just sit anyway. Anyone like to take dispute?
I'd very much like to know when the Hillsville Freeway was first moved. That was a great
stretch. I can answer that one.
Oh, there you go.
About 1963, because...
No, before then, I think.
I used to be on Brainerd Road down by the Dandong Creek, and we got... Us and the Livermores got wind of it about 1963.
I would have thought it was on the planning scheme map as a reservation before then.
That's probably Ian and his family after the event.
Yep.
Well, I've grown up, but they have all all the records have gone somewhere else.
Of course.
And it was a great threat to my mother, whom I think was 80 then, and she lived to be 91.
Where did she live?
Well, she was a friend of Mr. Nee's.
All right.
And I rather hoped that she wouldn't mention any run-in that she had with Mr. She had run-ins with Mr. Black too, by the sound. Mr. Nee was a great influence on my mother to try and get her to subsidise our orchard, which was subsequently become the bicentennial orchard.
Oh, right. Matheson. Yes, of course. Actually, I was going to mention the Mathesons as well.
Mm. Well, I'm glad you didn't. Actually, I think it was Marnie's mother was one of the young people who established the
room. Right, right.
I had shares in
the room. Right, yes.
Right, so yes, Norma.
Near the Blue Moon. In Blackburn.
Yeah. Is that the one you said they just filled up with rubbish and everything? And had to use
no, that was the Blackburn
and
Quarry.
So that hole was there for the ages. And all of a sudden it disappeared, and I wondered why it needed to go. I think one of the only reasons why we focused on population around Blackburn.
I can't recall that one, Norma.
I've got photographs of it.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
I'll talk to you about it after.
No. We've been quite differently, had trees, but it's quite parkland, just a few years ago.
Right. Oh, no, I'd be interested in. Earlier. Yeah. No, I can't answer that. Yes, we'll have a look. I don't
see,
know
it's
that
on
it
the
is.
Map after. You can pick it up there. Oh, well, the
SMC, yeah. Yeah.
Ron's covered it all really well. Okay. Harold.
Do you think they would have saved the Owen House where Howdy lived if it was there today? We spoke about this the last time, but this was a Wuppeland door, but Wuppeland average.
Yes.
Where Herbie Wilson lived.
I think it was in a much worse condition than Schwerkolt's cottage ever got to.
Well,
yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
The whole point was that. Herbie was a thorn in their side, and he tried to get him out for a long time.
Yes.
And I remember quite well, he got onto the authority, I know he had to go, to bring out migrants in that, but at that time, he brought these relations out.
No, I can't say I can remember that.
Stacked out in the yard, a carp or something over there. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's interesting to me that there was such a strong clay-based industry, the tile and brick industry for the area. But as far as I know, there's nothing, no relics of that being saved or preserved.
No, that's probably right, Bill, I think. It was my thought when heritage matters were being discussed that some effort ought to have been made to preserve a kiln or some aspect of that old land use. I think there was an effort made, Terry might remember more, it's fairly recently since they've attempted to subdivide.
While you were on council, there was all that trying to save the Wunderlich. And the last I heard, the minister had it in his tray.
Hmm. I think there was an effort made.
Yes, yeah. I never heard the other
guy. Yes, that's what happens.
I think it was at the time when we were preparing for amalgamation, and so many of those things were just put aside because of the greater work they were doing at that stage. You know, trying to keep Ngunnawarring from being sliced, laterally or vertically. Yeah.
Change the name back to Tunstall because that's where the name comes from. That's where I understand they make all that stone in England.
Yes.
So change it back to Tunstall and you'll have it right.
That's an interesting question. Something perhaps we should pursue.
Yes.
Because the stacks are still there, aren't they? And
I would think some of the old kiln parts would have been still.
As far as the minister coming out to do an on-site inspection, I remember that was about the last thing.
Would be a shame.
Heard.
That would probably be their sole remaining
perhaps the society
there
should...
There is a kiln in Box Hill, which is
right, down.
Intact.
Is that the standard... Is that the one that's standard?
In the Box Hill brick. Oh,
yeah, near the dive, yeah. Near the Surrey dive. Mm.
But if something is likely to happen there soon because they've nearly got the quarry hole filled, and then they'll start to try and
yes.
plug it up.
Yeah.
And at that stage, the brickworks will be a problem.
Yeah.
Just to comment on that, Valder, I think this is probably a bit by coincidence, but this is probably the best time now to start doing this sort of thing because you've got. State election over, you've got the trauma of amalgamation almost over, and you know, and the relative stability throughout the state, you know, with the ministry and with McClellan, to bring this up again and to start people thinking to say, hey, you know, now that all that fuss is beyond,
yes, I think we'll get a letter away. So I think just from this meeting, we'll decide to do that. Yes, you certainly are.
We have Matt. Front of copies of things of Aboriginal readings of doing to their not true grave trees with a family or
canoe.
I can go from Northbourne, not far from the freeway down here, the tree that's not treated to the things we've got to do. So why don't we just take a start?
It's a bit before my time, Dorothy, but yeah, I never ever came across anything. Yes. Never heard of anything, no, but that doesn't mean it never... No, that's right.
No, but it's just our eyes open.
Yes,
yes.
Just before I ask Bill to thank Ron on our behalf, I'd just like to add that I'd like to thank him for the map and for the framework he made, for the whole engineering expertise he brought into place. Ron made, he made sides and stands so that we could all
yes,
see.
Yes.
So
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wasn't too sure whether Bill was aware of that, so I thought I'd thank you for that effort.
It's all right.
But we'll ask Bill to thank you on our behalf.
On behalf of the site in Rotten, I'd like to thank you for a nice, interesting and informative talk. A number of our members can go back two and three generations in the area.
Yes.
Others like me, we came here about 40 years ago. So we came in with a climate.
Yes.
Most people to go back through some of those early years when we were... We didn't have sewerage on that.
No.
We had the road half made. The first time this contractor had ever made a road. And we could always pick the people that had lived before 56 in the street because they always had big gumbies.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And I think Ron illustrates something that we're losing now. Government servants we've got nowadays. In the old days we had public servants. So they were municipal, state, or federal. And they were people that took an oath when they joined up. They worked hard. They not only gave allegiance to the council, in this case, to the premier, for the prime minister, but they added allegiance to the public. And they were there to serve the public, and I think Ron is a great example of a man that served the public as his service service. And behalf of us all, thank you very much for the talk.
Thanks.
And we've got a little thing here for you to take away. I didn't go the wrong way.
Thank you very much, Bill.
This is only up, Peter.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks very much. Most appreciate it.
And that's for you, Greta, and thank you very much for coming. And you helped with all the supporting business.
Good. Thanks very much.
Thank you both.
Thanks,
Valerie. Very much.
Good.
Now, the phone call was from a secretary. The intended book hasn't been
served. Oh, we wouldn't have thought of that either. You know what that is? It's the attendance book. So she would ask us, and if I would ask our visitors who are here today, perhaps if we get your name and address too. Now, if there's yes, you could.